Thank you. Thank you all for coming. They say there is no known mechanism by which any of you are experiencing the symptoms that you're getting. Therefore, you're fine. Now, there is just one basic mechanism that has been known since 1975 that can explain most of your symptoms. And I will try to show you how this happens. Now, firstly, you need to have an instant lesson in cytology, which will last approximately 1 minute, which will tell you all that you need to know. Firstly, cell membranes, they surround the outside of each living cell and also divide it up into various internal compartments. They are very thin, approximately a millionth of a centimeter thick. And they are held together by much the same forces as a soap bubble. This makes them relatively fragile, easy to make holes in. That's cell membrane done. Now, move on to ions. Ions are electrically charged atoms or molecules, and they are responsible for any electrical flow through a liquid or through living tissue. Ions can pass through cell membranes in two ways. They can be pumped across the membrane using metabolic energy, so they can go against the concentration gradient, or they can be allowed to flow under their own power, as it were, through ion channels, which just holes in the membrane, pre-programmed to shut and open like a tap. Now, cells are electrically driven. One of the things they do is to develop a voltage across their membrane by pumping out ions. Ions are pumped across the membrane, that generates a voltage across it, and that voltage is used to good effect quite often, because as the current returns, just like current flowing back into the electrical circuit, it can bring with it nutrients. So it's used for absorbing nutrients. So what I want you to just remember is that there is normally a voltage across the cell membrane. That's all you need to know for the moment. Now, let's look at our sensory cells, because this is where it gets interesting. We all have various kinds of sensory cells in our skin. They're specialized for doing different things. Some will sense touch. Some will sense pressure. Some will sense pain. Some will sense temperature. And they are all adjacent to nervous tissue, which will send any signals that they receive to the brain. Now, despite their diversity, they all work in much the same way. When they sense whatever they're supposed to sense, they leak ions deliberately through their membranes, which sort of short-circuits the membrane potential, the voltage across them. So that drops, and that triggers the release of neurotransmitters, which stimulate neighboring nerve cells to send signals to the brain. So they receive the stimulus, they leak, they send signals to the brain. They nearly all work like that. Now, unfortunately, electromagnetic radiation will also make these membranes leak. And that will trigger the sense cells to send now false signals to the brain. And this is what you're getting. Not everybody is the same. Not everybody has sense cells which are equally sensitive. But one thing that electrosensitive people do seem to have in common is that they have unusually leaky cell membranes. Now, for this bit of information, we have to thank El Titi and her co-workers in Essex University, because buried in one of their tables, so that nobody could easily find it, was some measurements made on the skin conductance of electrosensitive and controlled individuals. And the electrosensitive people had a much higher skin conductance, which signifies, to me at least, that their cell membranes were more leaky to ions. Well, I wrote to them and thanked them for showing me exactly how you were all different and how it worked. I didn't get a reply. But you can now see, if just having leaky membranes means that you are more likely to be affected by electromagnetic radiation than the bulk of the population. And you won't all be affected in exactly the same way, because your sensory cells will have different thresholds. We know that different people have different pain thresholds, for example. Same probably applies to all the other sensations. So you get false feelings of touch. Well, these are the crawling sensations that you would be getting. Feelings of tightness, which is your pressure sensors. Pins and needles, probably pain. And you get sensations of heat. All as a result of electromagnetic radiation making your cells more leaky. Then there are some of the other ones. Effects on the ear, for example. I did have a diagram somewhere. It hasn't blown away. Yes, it has blown away, I think. There it is. And the blow. Thank you. Right. It doesn't show up too well, but that is the inner ear, believe it or not. This is the hearing bit, the cochlea. And these are the semicircular canals. Now, in the inner ear, there are specialized cells called hair cells. They're a bit like the palm of my hand, with hairs sticking out of the top like my fingers. And when they sense vibration or motion, these hairs waggle, and that triggers the hair cell to send a neurotransmitter to a neighboring nerve cell that sends it to the brain. Now, we normally hear sound because the sound goes in and around this sort of snail-like thing, cochlea, and along the length of that are numerous hair cells all tuned to different frequencies, different pitches. And when these vibrate, send signals to the brain, we hear the noise, or sound. Now, electromagnetic radiation, when it makes those leak, you get false sensations of sound, tinnitus, which may be just a simple ringing in the ears, or maybe quite complex sounds, depending on how many of those cells have been triggered. So that's your tinnitus explained. Now, how about your dizziness? Now, that comes from the semicircular canals. Now, again, not very clear, but these are fluid-filled circles, essentially. And it's to detect the motion of your head, to correct your vision. For example, if you just turn your head like that, things seem to move. Is it because your head's moved, or is it because the thing has really moved? Now, the semicircular canals tell you which is which. Because as you rotate your head, the fluid in the canals tend to stay still and flows past the hair cells in the canal. And that tells your brain that you've turned your head, and it corrects your vision to what it should be. The object is stationary, and it's your head that's turned. Now, if you do a pirouette, I'm not going to demonstrate this. If you go round and round and round, spinning your body, eventually, the fluids in these canals spin with you. Then you stop. And you know what happens? The whole world goes around because the hair cells are correcting, apparently, or it's trying to correct, for what it thinks is a moving object, or what your head is moving, rather. So the objects now appear to move. That's dizziness. And in another part of the ear called the vestibule down here, there's another sort of hair cell which is embedded in a sort of soft jelly which contains sort of crystals as a kind of weight. And these behave like little miniature plumb lines which tell you which direction is down. So that enables you to keep your balance. It detects motion of the head, which way is down. Between the two, they tell you your orientation. And they can all be thwarted by electromagnetic radiation. And what happens is you get this feeling of dizziness. You get feelings of motion sickness, all the symptoms of motion sickness, including nausea. Why nausea? That seems an odd one out. Nausea. Well, there is an explanation for it. What can also produce these symptoms are eating something like a poison mushroom. A nerve poison. That can cause all sorts of disturbances to the nervous system and the inner ear. Now, it makes sense, if you have just eaten the poison, to be sick. And that has probably been programmed into us over countless millions of years. If you are sick, as soon as you get these sort of symptoms, you stand a good chance of surviving. And just out of interest, this is probably why seeing somebody be sick makes you want to be sick too. Because there's a good chance that they will have eaten the same food as you. And if they see you being sick, they are sick too, and saves them as well. So that explains your nausea and some of your behaviours when you see somebody else more casualty or something like that, sick. Right, that's the most... Yes. or the eye actually is an odd one out. The rods and cones of the eye, they're the bits that are sensitive to light. When they receive light, they don't normally leak, but they increase their membrane potential. So electromagnetically induced leakage here doesn't give you a false sensation. It usually means a partial loss of vision, which is probably what a lot of you, at least some of you, have, if it disturbs your vision. It tends to be a loss of vision rather than seeing something which isn't there. You would probably know better than me about that. So, what makes these membranes leak? Well, I said it was known since 1975. It's the loss of calcium from cell membranes. Calcium strengthens cell membranes just like it strengthens your bones. What it does is to cement together the negatively charged molecules which go to make up the membrane. It's rather like holding bricks together in a wall with mortar. The calcium ions are the mortar. They're negatively charged, they hold on to the... they're positively charged, they hold on to the negatively charged molecules in the remainder of the membrane. And these are removed, this has been shown time and time again. There's a brief explanation of the mechanism in the leaflet which I've handed out. So it does have a theoretical explanation. And it happens only at very low light energy levels. It's a selective removal of calcium, leaving other ions which are less good at holding the membrane together intact. So the membrane leaks. And that explains your false sensations. But it explains a lot more. It explains the blood-brain barrier being leaky. The blood-brain barrier is a sort of layer of cells which are connected together by tight junctions. That really means that the gaps between the cells are sealed so that nothing can leak through other than through the cells, or if, as can sometimes happen, these tight junctions open. Leakage here can let all sorts of things into the brain, all sorts of poisons, toxins, kills neurons, which will lead to early dementia. Doesn't happen straight away, because the brain's got spare capacity. It can manage without quite a lot of its neurons. As you know, people have had brain operations, had large chunks of brain removed, still works. But that can't go on forever. And it means that as you get older, dementia in its various forms is inevitable. Also explains all your allergies and multiple chemical sensitivities. Because the whole of your body surfaces, both inside and out, are protected by a barrier similar to the blood-brain barrier. There's one in the skin, there's one in the nasal cavities, there's one lining the gut. Every surface of your body is protected from the environment that stops materials leaking across them. Now, I don't have to tell you that if substances which would normally not penetrate your skin can now get through to the inside of your body, it's open sesame for all the allergens and chemicals that can enter your body now more easily and therefore trigger allergies and multiple chemical sensitivities to almost anything under the sun. It can also explain the increase in asthma, because allergens such as pollen and derivatives like that can now enter more easily, and you will develop an allergy to that even though you may not have had it originally. Might also be responsible for some of the autoimmune diseases. And this has been pinned on the door of the gut barrier. If particles of partially digested food can enter the bloodstream by bypassing the cells which would normally prevent them, you get these particles going in around inside the blood, and sometimes they can be engulfed by the living cells of your body, which then try to digest them internally. Now, some chemicals, some products of digestion, like gluten, are not easily digested. And if they get into the cell and it tries to digest it and fails, then the cell treats it as if it was a virus and presents it on the surface ready for the white blood cells of the immune system to kill that cell, because that's the only way you can get rid of a virus. You have to kill the cell. Now, if this happens rather a lot, if you have celiac disease, then it causes inflammation of the gut, as the cells of the gut are damaged, which gives you a lot of pain. And it is possible that some of the other autoimmune diseases, like type 1 diabetes, multiple sclerosis, could have a similar causation by these particles being ingested by those cells. So we have a common mechanism which links almost all of these conditions of electrosensitivity and immune diseases. And we can take it a stage further. How about DNA? We know that that is broken into fragments by electromagnetic radiation, but people are not quite sure how. But this leakage of cell membranes can explain that too, because we have in all of our cells bodies called lysosomes, which are really little bags of enzymes surrounded by a membrane, whose job it is to digest cellular waste ready for recycling. So it's full of enzymes, proteases, DNAs, you name it, it's got it. If the membrane of that leaks, then those enzymes leak out into the rest of the cell where it can damage DNA. And that can lead to all sorts of things, including cancer and loss of function in the organ that has received the radiation. Now, we've heard about brain cancer being on the increase. Thyroid cancer is also on the increase too. Now, the thyroid gland is in the neck, here, just where you hold your mobile phone. And you don't have to be a genius to work out that there may possibly be a link here And one of the experiments that Ollie and his co-workers have done, which he didn't mention, was that even if your thyroid gland doesn't develop a cancer, it can lose its function. So that after, I think the experiment was done with rats exposed to power line frequencies, after about 3 months exposure, the gland lost some of its function and it appeared to be irreversible. Now, what that means is that without the thyroid enzyme, the thyroid hormone rather, you develop hypothyroidism. The symptoms of which are fatigue, loss of muscle tone, and obesity. Now, is your cell phone or your mobile phone making you fat? Now, the powers that be don't want you to know that, so they're blaming it on you for overeating. Ah, likely story, who would overeat? There is another gland, though, right next to your thyroid, called the parathyroid. We have no information on what happens to that, but it's a good guess that that will be similarly affected and lose its function too. Now, what does the parathyroid gland do? It makes a hormone that controls the calcium level in your bloodstream. And you could be, as a result, have low levels of calcium. Now, if you look up the medical books, you will see that the symptoms of this, it's called hypocalcemia, resemble almost identically those of electrosensitivity. You get these paresthesias, tinglings, dizziness, and so on. You can look it up. Possibly you are developing your EHS as a result of damaging this gland, either by sort of giving it a real wallop with your mobile phone, or perhaps by just general exposure to the environmental electromagnetic fields. So when they say there is no known mechanism by which any of these can occur, I think you have the answer. It can explain almost all of them. Anyway, have we run out of time now?
Okay, don't worry.
There's just one point I would like to make, which might interest you a bit, in that there might actually be a role for electrosensitivity to may under some circumstances be a good thing, because look at ionizing radiation. Now, we know that that damages DNA and also all sorts of nasty things. One of the things it does is to damage cell membranes and make them leak. It does it by a different mechanism. In the case of non-ionizing radiation, it removes calcium. In ionizing radiation, it causes peroxidation reactions in the polyunsaturated phospholipid. Now, that is jargon for saying it makes the lipids in your membrane go rancid and break up. So you get rather more permanent holes in your membranes. But that initially produces symptoms more or less identical to electrosensitivity. You get dizziness, vomiting, fatigue, and so on. it's affected your senses. And because the DNA damage is more severe, it damages all the cells which happen to be dividing at the time of irradiation. And you get problems with ulceration of the skin, your hair falls out, problems with digesting food because your gut is not being renewed, and you lose immunity because your white blood cells are not being renewed. So it can end up being lethal. Well, nobody's going to be... that's not going to happen to you, is it? It might. You need to know a little bit about cosmology. Every so often, the Earth's magnetic field changes places. The North Pole becomes South Pole becomes North Pole. Happens roughly once every 250,000 years. It's not regular like the clock, but that's the average. We're overdue for one. And when this happens, the radiation from the sun, so-called solar wind, is no longer trapped in the Earth's magnetic field in outer space and reaches the Earth's surface. Now, most of the time it is relatively weak, and perhaps if you were electrosensitive you might sense it, because you already have slightly leaky membranes, and you would probably avoid going out in the sun because the sun is the source of the radiation. It's like a tetra mast. Be much more powerful. Now, that's fine. Bit of a nuisance. Can't go out in the sun. But the big one comes when there is a solar flare. Roughly every 11 years or so, the sun goes through a sunspot cycle in which the amount of radiation from the sun increases something like 100-fold and would be lethal to any animal, or plant for that matter, caught in the open in daytime. If you have already been programmed to keep out of the sun, you will probably survive. And this may be why so many animals are nocturnal and live in burrows. And even man, who must have gone through several of these magnetic reversals during his evolution, would be living in caves, safe from the radiation. So here we have a case which where electrosensitivity might protect both you and the other animals. Yes, I expect other animals can be electrosensitive too. This may be why many of them do not like living close to us anymore, because we are a source of the radiation. But it's a thought to go away with. The electrosensitivity might, under some circumstances, save your life and save the species. I'll leave it there.